It's time to pray, America. It's time to pray for change.
We need to see a change. America, America, come back to the place where you were in your beginning days. We need to stand on the firm foundations that our fathers laid. We need to see a change. We're lost inside the dark. Light our way. Love of God, redeem us. Holy Ghost, lead us today.
In 1966, the Holy Spirit spoke to Dale Gentry and said these words: "Give me the first hour of your day, and I'll change your life."
No great awakening. What happened to the power of God? Like all of Azusa Street. A great awakening. All God's glory on display. A great awakening. We're lost inside the dark. Light our way. Help us to know who you are today. Then nothing stands between us. Love of God, Holy Ghost, lead us.
He responded. And now, over 40 years later, thousands across this nation and around the world pray daily with Dale.
It's coming now, it's coming now. Revival's coming now. It's coming now, it's coming now. Revival's coming now. Yes, it is, yes, it is. And it's coming now, it's coming.
Here's your Hour of Power prayer leader, Dale Gentry.
Hey, thank you very much, Tom Dooley. Good Thursday, everybody. Good to have you listening in here on BPN Radio as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. And we have a special guest on today, longtime friend Maggie Ellis, who's a well-known speaker, author, and therapist, coach, leader in the United Kingdom. And Margaret is from England, and we're going to be talking with Maggie in just a few moments. So stay tuned, if you will, to BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station. And Father, we just come boldly into your presence today with the blood of Jesus, by the name of Jesus, declaring, God, you are our Father, and we are your sons and daughters. We pray your will be done here on BPN Radio today. And we just pray that this Spirit-led broadcast will be a blessing to many. We thank you, Lord, there's hope for our nation. We are thankful that now we have about 70 other nations, Lord, that are praying with us for revival in this nation. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And I would like to remind you that we are calling for 1,000 prayer leaders from across America and different places in the world. Well, help us pray for another spiritual awakening in America. And we just recently have reached the 1,000 mark in churches. that are praying with us. Over 700 cities are represented here on the Breakout Prayer Network. And now we're believing for 1,000 prayer leaders. And if you would like to be a prayer leader associated with the Breakout Prayer Network, you can go to our website at bpnradio.com. That's bpnradio.com. You can register there, and then we will list you on our 1,000 prayer leaders groups. And so we're just believing. And today, I want us to make some faith declarations together. We know that Jesus said we're justified by the words of our mouth or condemned by the words of our mouth. And so I love to start my day. Gene and I, in fact, start our day by making our faith declarations. We've been doing this for many, many years. And if you pray with me on, if you receive my 60-second email prayers every day, at the very top of those, there are the faith declarations that you can actually say along with me. It's audio. So we're going to do it today before Darling Check comes to sing. So, Father, we just pray right now as people make these faith declarations that you will begin. They will begin to set their day in proper motion. Here we go. Would you say these with me? Today's a good day. Today is a beautiful day. Today is a blessed day. God made it for me. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm going over and not going under. God did not bring me this far to let me down. God did not bring me this far to let me drown. I'm going to the other side. I'm going to be a strong finisher. I know how to blow the charge. I don't know how to blow the retreat. Retreat is not an option. If God be for me, who can be against me? Nobody. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Say this with me today. Today is a good day. I can do what God says I can do. I can go where God says I can go. I can stay where God says I can stay. I can say what God says I can say. I can have what God says I can have. I can be what God says I can be. I can start what God says I can start. I can finish what God says I can finish. I can do all things through Jesus Christ, which strengthens me. Say these words with me. Today's a good day. God's setting things up for me today. Divine appointments, divine connections, Holy Ghost setups. My steps are ordered by the Lord. New season, new opportunities, new peace, new joy, new contentment, new health, new wealth, new prosperity, new connections, new bills paid off, old bills paid off, new opportunities, new favor. Say these words with me. Today is a good day. I declare that all is well today. All is well in my life. All is well in my family. All is well in my future. All is well in my business. All is well in my job. All is well in my health. All is well in my emotions. All is well in my church. All is well in my city. Say this, today's a good day. Blessed day. Happy day. healthy day, wonderful day. TGIT. Thank God it's Thursday. Well, I believe that we made a difference already. Father, we thank you because we have a bright future. We thank you because you're at work in our life. We're thankful today that you are working in us, and we are so very grateful and thankful. Darlene Check is going to sing. She's going to sing a song before our special guest from England, Maggie Ellis, is on with us today. And Maggie is the founder and director of the Life Center in England. And she's going to be with us in just a few moments. But first of all, Darlene Check is going to sing. And Gene and I met Darlene and her husband several years ago, and we had a meal with them. And I said, tell me your story. I love to hear people's story. And she said to me, she said, I started singing when I was a teenager. I started writing songs, but nobody sang my songs. And she said, nothing was really happening in my life. I would write songs, but my songs were not well known, and I was not well known. But then one day, she said, the Lord gave me this song entitled Shout to the Lord. And she said, I wrote that song, recorded that song, and now most of us, we know the rest of the story, because Darlene Check recorded this song and wrote this song, recorded this song, and then many, many other people have recorded the song as well. So here's Darlene Check, her first song that's been become well known, Shout to the Lord.
Never cease to ask.
Okay, it's an honor and a privilege to have here on BPN Radio today a young lady from England that I've known since 1991. Her and her husband, Roger, are great friends of ours. She's a spiritual daughter. Maggie Ellis is the founder and director of Life Center in England. She's a registered psychotherapist and psychosexual therapist and a well-known consultant, speaker, writer, coach, and counselor in the United Kingdom. And she started her career as a secondary school teacher, has led a church, has overseen church plants. And Maggie has been married for over 30 years, has two adult children. And we are delighted and honored to have her as our special guest here today on BPN Radio. So welcome, Maggie Ellis, to BPN.
Thank you, Dale. It's a real honor to be on your show.
Tell us about Life Center, how it got started, what it's all about.
Wow. Well, many years ago, I was leading a church, and God was already stirring in my heart the desire to do something more in the community. And then this prophetic guy with a Texan accent, I think one would say, called Dale Gentry came to my church and prophesied. And it was on the 10th of November, 1998. And he said, the Holy Spirit says you're going to have a life center where you restore people back to life. You will have young ladies and young men whose lives are dark, on the verge of committing suicide, gone through several abortions, been raped many times, abused by their fathers and mothers, with no life. And there's going to be a life centre where people literally get their lives back. And I won't read all of the prophecy, but even now, all these years on, I struggle not to cry reading it.
Wow.
But it says, it'll be a place where people get rid of their shame. It'll be a place where Isaiah 61 will come to pass. In the place of your shame, I will give you double honour. They get their life back. They get their childhood back. They get their youth back. They get their families back. They get their reputation back. They get their self-worth back at the Life Center.
Wow.
And you know what? The very next day, I went and contacted the Charity Commission in the UK, and I said, I want to register the name Life Center, because I knew this was a confirmation of what God had already been growing in my heart. And I had already seen this, but it put words to it. And I'd actually been asking God in prayer for a name for it. And I knew that we needed to do something for people who've been raped and sexually abused. It's a human rights atrocity going on under our noses. And often people don't like to notice it. They find it embarrassing or shameful or all sorts of other things to talk about it. And yet, actually, I couldn't carry on as a Christian worshipping in our community, knowing that there was no specialist service for someone for whom, through no fault of their own, they'd been raped or sexually abused. Mm-hmm. Whether that's a man or a woman, it's not just for women. Whether it was something recent or whether it's something many years ago, the damage is just as devastating. And so we set up the Life Centre with a small team of volunteers initially. We initially set it up very simple. It was just a telephone helpline. I trained in psychosexual therapy and counselling and got various qualifications so that I knew what I was doing, and then trained people from our church. It very quickly started to grow, and we had to get the help of other churches. We're now the biggest ecumenical organisation in our area for the amount of churches that support this. And it's just grown and grown from very small beginnings. And we've now, well, in February this year, I got a phone call from our office from the lady who takes all the referrals for people who phone in saying, I'd like to have some counselling. And she said, Maggie, we've just had our 3,000th person phone in.
3,000.
Yeah, wow. And since then it's even more. So this year, the numbers of referrals have gone up significantly. Those of you who are listening in from other countries and may not know, the UK media in the last 3 or so years has been absolutely full of very high profile people being accused and most of them convicted of sexual abuse crimes. And that has massively increased the numbers of people coming forward to our service, as well as many other services across the country. As far as we know, we're the only Christian service offering a specialist service like this in the UK, which is a real privilege. Obviously, we reach out to people of all faiths and none, but as a team, we hold very dear the importance of prayer, praying together, praying in our team meetings for all of our clients. And we believe that's a real key behind what we do.
Well, this is a growing problem, I know, rape and abuse in America. And I believe that you have done some pioneer work. And I'm sure that, as you said, the statistics are growing the past 3 years. And when we talk about rape or sexual abuse, is that within the family mostly, or... Where would the greatest threat or greatest problem lie?
Yeah, it's a good question. The majority are within what we call a domestic context, which can be any wider family relationships. I'm just trying to find our statistics for that. I'll come back to it. But the majority are within a domestic context. There's also others where it's not, for sure. It might be acquaintances, people that you've met socially through work, someone you thought was going to be a date and then it turned into a rape. But the majority, sadly, is within the family with trusted people.
Wow.
And around a quarter of our clients are children. And for children, the majority of sexual abuse happens from a trusted person, which is usually within the family.
Wow, it's amazing. It's amazing what's happening, particularly as human trafficking has really come to the light, in particularly here in America, I know, and so many churches are getting involved in this situation. And I'm sure that it's widespread in the United Kingdom also.
Yeah.
I just sense, Maggie, that so many people are being violated, as you say, and violated by people they trusted. And how can parents safeguard their children, like having them to spend the night with a friend or having a friend over? What safeguards can parents take concerning their children?
It's a very good question, because we don't want to breed a fearful environment for our children.
Right.
But on the other hand, we also need to be wise. And I think we need to equip our children for the world in which they do live, not for some pretend idealized world. And sexual abuse is just as rife within the church Christian community as it is within secular society. Mm-hmm. We must not think that just because people are Christians, we can trust them. So how do we protect our children? I think predominantly it's actually about training our children how to keep themselves safe. Of course, you want to check out the family and get to know them. But to be honest with you, that is not a safeguard, because most sex offenders are very charming and you could spend years hanging out with their family and feeling like you're checking them out and you would not know.
Wow.
So I actually don't think that's an answer, although, of course, I wouldn't send my children to a stranger's household without getting to know them. But I think the stronger answer is how we educate our children to protect themselves so that they are not vulnerable, so that they will speak out. And it's things like saying to them, if anything happens that you feel uncomfortable with, making sure they know who they can go and talk to so that they always feel empowered. A child who's abused feels trapped and feels like they have no options. And the abuser will teach them that and tell them that they can't speak out, etc. But we should make sure that our children always know who they can go to and to help them think through who they can go to in every situation. And that if anything happens that makes them feel uncomfortable, that they would not freeze and just feel stuck, but to be proactive and go and tell somebody, go and tell the mother in the house or phone home. Make sure they always have access to a phone, whether they've got their own mobile or if they're too young to have their own mobile, to make sure you set up with that family they're sleeping over with, that they've got access to the family telephone. And if they were uncomfortable with anything, that they know how to phone home straight away.
That's great. That is great. Well, I know that there are, I'm sure there's people listening. They feel trapped. They feel like there is no one they can go to, that they can trust. And I know for many years now, you have pioneered this work. And if people are listening today, and I really don't know of a, life center here in America like you have in England, but I know there's people in different nations. So what if someone just feels like, you know, I'm trapped here, I'm entangled in something, and I've been hiding the shame, and I mean, who do they go to? How would they start if they don't know of anyone?
Great question. So I would say to anybody who is carrying sexual experiences that have not been wanted on your part and that are causing burdens to you in whatever way, I'd say to you, first of all, always reach out. There is always somebody who can help you. You can start by Googling what services are there locally. It might be called a rape crisis service, but some form of specialist service for survivors of rape and sexual abuse. So at Life Centre, we offer helpline support, which is by telephone or text. We also offer email counselling, which people use from all sorts of different nations. We also offer face-to-face counselling, which obviously is only useful if you're close enough to West Sussex in England. But many places around the world will have a specialist service. It doesn't need to be a Christian service. The most important thing is that these are people who are specialist to understanding and having a heart for rape and sexual abuse. And I would just encourage people to reach out and go to one of those services and ask for help and support. If there's nothing geographically close, there are many support websites that can be found online.
So how can the church get involved?
Well, at Life Centre, we would love to get in contact with churches who would like to set up something similar to what we've done. Whether or not they want to call it a Life Centre, we don't mind. But if there's nothing in your area, specialist for survivors of rape and sexual abuse, we have actually got funding for a member of staff who we are releasing to walk with new places to support you in setting something up. She will mentor you in what's needed. We are putting a lot of our training online so that it's filmed and you can access that training to use for your volunteers, staff that you start to build. So you can contact us at, we're calling it Life Centre Network, and we would support you in setting up a specialist service, whatever was needed in your area. And the way to contact us is to go on to website lifecentrenetwork.org. That's lifecenternetwork.org.
Okay, that's LIFECENTRE, right?
Yes.
Network?
Yes.
.org?
Yes.
Okay, that's lifecenternetwork.org. And you guys could actually help, you could help a church get set up, get started?
Absolutely. That is our vision. We want to pass on and share the learning we have. We want to help give to you the policies and codes of practice that we've had to develop so that you don't have to start from scratch and reinvent the wheel. We've put a lot of our training, we've filmed it and got it online, training on how to work with trauma, how to protect yourself from getting burnt out and not pick up secondary trauma, basic counselling skills, listening skills, some of the common issues that you will be working with when supporting someone who's been raped or sexually abused, how to deal with their anger, how to work with shame, etc., etc. Lots of different training modules that you can access online, and we put them up at as low cost as we can to make it really accessible. Our vision is to give away what the expertise that we have built up over the last 15 years, and because we would love to see other Christians be able to set up something that is really professional, really specialist, that will bring healing to people who have been raped and sexually abused.
So are you talking about, Maggie, you're talking about a church, or are you talking about maybe an individual that might be qualified to do this in America?
It certainly a church. It would need more than one individual. They would need a team.
Mm-hmm.
But if there was a few individuals, even just two or three people who have got the vision, then we would get alongside them. We would encourage them to get the support of their local church, because we believe very strongly there is such a strength in that Christian community to help you make something like this succeed. And it's not easy to make it succeed. We are touching the kingdom of darkness. We're touching some horrific damage that the enemy has taken in people's lives. And our experience is that when you've got proper prayer cover, you will be much more successful.
Absolutely. Well, I believe that this is a tremendous opportunity for some churches, particularly here in America, to get involved in. And then if they contact you, then you could help them walk it through. Is that correct?
Exactly. Yes. We have a lady called Haley who her time is set aside to do exactly that,
to talk
with local teams, churches, to find out what their vision is to do, to get alongside them, to guide them through the process of setting something up, and to make available to them the resources that we have developed at Life Center to pass that on to make life easier for them.
Well, I certainly agree, and I certainly salute what you're doing, and I'm just so honored to have had a part in that. And I've been to your center, and so delighted to participate in this ongoing assignment that God has given you. And you walked it through, and you've kind of ironed out the rough edges. And I believe that a lot of churches in America need to get involved. It is so important because of the increased attack particularly upon children, upon young people, and upon, of course, adults that refuse to talk about it or refuse to go for help. And so this is an incredible work that you're doing. And I would like to encourage as many churches or pastors or leaders that would like to investigate the possibility, the opportunity to get in touch with the Life Center, network.org there. And of course, I highly recommend Maggie Ellis and her team. And I know anything that you would say would be, of course, very confidential. And so, wow, I just, I just hadn't thought about it till I talked about you today, but I'm just believing that there's going to be some response from America and that more churches will get involved in this ever-growing, ever-increasing problem that is damaging our society. And I believe it's a tremendous opportunity to reach out to people that otherwise we could not reach with the gospel. So,
absolutely. And we do need to do it wisely. What we don't want... Well, when I first set up Life Centre, I had a meeting with the head of social services in our area, and he was very confrontational and challenging to me. And he said, how do I know that you're not just a bunch of do-good Christians who don't know what you're doing? And that has lived with me ever since. And I've thought, that's what I'm committed to making sure we're not. Making sure that we are highly professional, that our team are well-trained, that we actually do know what we're doing. And I would say to any churches, don't take this on lightly. Really get a call from God. It's a wonderful area to get involved with because the healing of God is immense because the brokenness is so intense. But you do need to go with humility to learn how to do it well. And that will involve training. You're dealing with very complex trauma, and it needs people who are prepared to go through the proper training to learn how to do that well. There's lots of things that we can do badly and can cause more damage and more mess. And so if we're going to take this on, we need to really take it very seriously and take the responsibility of it to do it well. And also to be careful about how we bring Christ into this. Many people have been abused by power and authority, sometimes directly in the name of Christ or religion. And so we need to be very sensitive about that. And we can't go trampling in with another version of power over people and taking authority, because the way we act has to be the inverse of the damage.
Yeah.
And that is healing in and of itself. So the damage is by having someone take power over you when they had no right to do that and misuse their authority and their power, misuse boundaries. And so we need to be very careful that we come completely in the opposite spirit.
Absolutely. And I know that there's a lot of people that have been abused even in the house of God, and that does create a major problem.
And we do get many people who come who've been abused by their church leaders, their youth leaders, mm-hmm. their priests, whatever names are put upon their denomination. People who've been abused by someone who then prays for them as part of the abuse. And it is absolutely horrific and so twisted. And you can't begin to imagine that for that survivor, the last thing they need is for somebody to be offering to pray for them.
I know it's a major problem, but it's a tremendous ministry, and I know that can touch so many, many lives. Yeah. And I know that God has given you great favor there, even with the police departments. I know that God has given you favor there.
Yeah, we work closely with the police. We have very much an attitude that we want to prevent sexual abuse from happening. And our role has to be neutral for adults. It's their choice whether they report or not. For a child, we would always report the abuse. But we do believe that ultimately to stop that person sexually offending, the real and only power that there is to stop them is the power of the law. And therefore, we do believe it's important to work in partnership with the police in an appropriate way. So we would never put pressure on a client to report to the police if they're an adult. But we do support them and give them good information. We also offer a third party reporting system whereby they can pass on information about the abuse to the police, third party via us, without identifying who they are. So lots of different schemes to try and work together, because ultimately we do need to get these people stopped from being able to abuse others. And really the only way to do that is through the police.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, we also really respect those survivors who, for all sorts of personal reasons, don't want to report to the police. And that is their freedom and their right. And the most important thing is for them, for you to find your own healing. And the guilt and the atrocity of this is on the perpetrator. There is no guilt on you whether you report or don't report. The most important thing for you is to find your own healing and your own repairing of your life.
Right. So if someone listening would like to even send an email, you have an email address they could send and say, I need some help?
Yeah. So if they want to have email counselling, we have an email counselling service, which is not just a one-off, but we would arrange a regular weekly email where they would get a regular weekly reply to that email, and they can go into some detail in offloading the trauma that they've gone through, and they will have a qualified counsellor reply to that email. And if they want to engage in that, the email address is help@lifecentre.uk.com.
Okay, help@lifecentre.uk.com.
Exactly.
Okay. I'll repeat that also during the later on in the broadcast. I'm so delighted to have you on, and I know it's very enlightening what you're doing, and I just want to compliment you on your willingness to help others get started. And before you go, Maggie, I want you to say a prayer, and however the Holy Spirit leads you, and we will set ourselves in agreement here.
Of course. Can I just let people know that our general website, which has lots of other information, is www.lifecentre.uk.com, because the website I gave for the network is specific for supporting people who want to set something up in their own region. But for survivors wanting to get information and general support, the website is www.lifecentre.uk.com, and there's lots of information there that people can access. So what would you like me to pray for, Dale?
Why don't you pray for those that are victims of rape, sexual abuse? They've not reported it to anyone. They're afraid. And then you could say a prayer for baby churches in America, whoever may be listening that would like to get involved in this ministry.
Great.
Okay. And if anybody wants to support you financially, that would be great. You could let them know that I'm sure that donations are welcome.
Of course. We're actually at the moment trying to buy a house that we could base our center in Chichester. So that's our latest prayer, faith target, if you like, to really expand and give ourselves a home. We want to get something big enough to be able to have a prayer room in it. And we're just very tightly packed where we currently are. We've seen so many new people coming that we've just outgrown where we are. Mm-hmm. To give you an idea, this year, just to the end of May, we've had 36% more people come to us than the same months the previous year. So we're just really getting over squashed in the building that we're in. And we feel now is the time to see if we could buy somewhere that could be our own rather than wasting money on renting.
So what do you attribute the 36% rise? Is that people just coming out and beginning to search for help, or there's actually an increase in the abuse happening?
No, I don't at all believe there's an increase in the abuse. I think the abuse has gone on for generations and decades. But absolutely, I think there's a change in the culture that is making it easier for people to come forward. Sorry about that.
The bells are ringing.
Yeah, I think there is an increase, a change in the culture that is making it easier for people to come forward and to ask for help, because there's so much more media awareness and exposure of public figures who have sexually abused. Survivors are watching that and are seeing that people are believing them and they are responding and giving them help. Whereas in the past, people felt, what's the point in speaking out? No one's going to believe me. And there was such a deep sense of shame and self-blame. Whereas now I think society is changing and people are realizing there's no self-blame, there's no shame for that survivor, even though they feel it deeply. But truly, the shame is on the perpetrator, not on the person who has suffered. And people are seeing that others will believe you, and they healing and help and support is to hand, and actually can make a huge difference. There is hope. It can be better than it is just bottling it all up.
I agree. Well, I know that you have a tremendous passion for this, Maggie Ellis, and you just pray, and then we'll then let the people know if anybody would like to make a donation to Life Center, where to go to, and but you can pray, and then we'll go from there.
Thank you. So let's pray first for any people out there who have suffered any form of rape or sexual abuse. And you may be putting it down and saying, well, it's not as bad as other people. And I just want to ask you to stand in your own right before a loving God who cares about whatever it is that happened to you, irrespective of comparison with others, because you are important. And he cares about just one hair on your head, let alone the things that you're carrying in your memory. And so, dear loving God, I pray for anybody out there who's carrying memories of sexual abuse. And I pray for your loving kindness to come and start to change for the better the way they see themselves, the way they see what happened. I pray for your truth to break in. I pray where they're locked in their own prisons in their head and prisons in their emotions, I pray for a breaking of the chains of those prisons. I pray for freedom. I pray for restoration of all that that beautiful human being was before the abuse came. I pray for restoration of who you created them to be, fearfully and wonderfully made. I pray you will restore dignity. I pray you will restore hope. I pray for the broken pieces, that you will gently put them back together again. I pray for your kindness to come into their heart. Where there's a sense of shame and dirtiness, I pray that just gradually you will help them see that it's not their dirt, it's the perpetrator's. It's not their shame. It's that person who did it to them. It's their shame. And I pray, Lord, for your love to come into those dark places and to bring healing just in small, gradual steps, but true steps that become strong and reliable. And most of all, I pray for hope. I pray for hope to rise, and I pray for a new freedom for this precious individual who you created and you love more than anything else. And I pray that you'll show them where they can reach out to get the right sort of help and support to help them along their healing journey. Amen.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate you being on today. If someone would like to make a donation to Life Center, how would they just go to the website you have?
Yes, they can go to our main Life Center website, which is lifecenter.uk.com, and there's a section on there for donations and for giving, and we'd be really so grateful for any support. We really try and keep our admin costs low and put as much of the finances as we possibly can front facing into paying for counsellors to do the work that we're passionate about, to see healing come to those who deserve it, men, women and children.
Well, I certainly concur with that, and I just want to compliment you and on the work that you're doing and your faithfulness to pioneer this work and respond to the word of the Lord and all of the many people that you have helped. And it's just an honor. And I would recommend anyone that is interested, I can highly recommend you, knowing you and your husband, Roger, for all these years and knowing the work that you've done. And so I could highly recommend anyone to contact you. And once again, that is Life Center, LIFECENTRE .uk.com. And Maggie, thanks for being on today. And we'll have you back. And I'm just believing there's going to be some great fruit that's going to be produced out of this broadcast today.
And we really value all the listeners, your prayers. Even if you can't give financially, we so believe that prayer makes up all the difference. So please do be praying for our work. Pray for our clients. Many of them are in very, very dark places. And just pray for God's presence to be in everything we do. We would so value that. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. Maggie Ellis from Life Center there in England, here on BPN Radio today. God bless. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Well, I trust that you've enjoyed the interview there with Maggie Ellis from the United Kingdom, from England, whom we have known since 1991. Very enlightening what's going on in the United Kingdom, and particularly all across America. How many people are living in that arena of being sexually abused, raped? Just it's amazing. She said the statistics, there's been a 36% jump in those who are contacting them just recently. So we know there's a major problem, and we know that we're invading Satan's territory when we begin to minister to this people group. So I trust that you'll continue to pray for this ministry, and that you will pray about your church getting involved as well, because the need is tremendous. Good to have you listening here on BPN Radio. If you would like to make a donation to BPN Radio, you can go to bpnradio.com. Go down to the bottom of the page and click on the donate button. And we would appreciate, of course, appreciate your gifts. Thank you for being a part of BPN Radio. If you have a prayer request, you can go to bpnradio.com and you can double click on the prayer request. We'll send it to our national prayer coordinator, Cheryl Ortiz. And she has a national prayer group that will pray for your need the next several days. And we, of course, will be agreeing with you here on BPN Radio. It's a delight to have you listening, and I just want to pray right now for any individual needs that you might have here on the broadcast on this Thursday, knowing that prayer is a force. Is a force in the earth, and the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. So we pray, Lord, on this Thursday for every need that is represented in our listening audience, whether it's in America, the United Kingdom, or any nation of the world, we pray right now that you would just minister to every individual need. And when we pray, we say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who've sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And so, if you need daily bread, that's whatever you need today. Why don't you just take a moment just to tell the Lord what you need. And we set ourselves in agreement with you right now that there is a listening ear, that God in heaven is listening to the prayers of his people. So you can just cry out right now. And I believe that he will hear and will respond. I would like to say that I'm going to be ministering on June the 14th, Sunday morning, Sunday night, at Life Church, Port Arthur, Texas. If you join us there, Life Church, Port Arthur, Texas. And also, Leland and I will be ministering at the Austin Music and Prayer Gathering. That's July 19th, 20th, and 21st in Austin, Texas. So it's going to be great. Young Preachers International will be joining us and people from across the city and land. So come and be with us in Austin, July 19th, 20th, 21st. We thank you for praying with us today. It's been a wonderful day. And we know that when we pray, we're making a difference. So Dale Gentry is saying, I'll be back tomorrow at the same time or any time as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the Donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.